Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Easter season is soon over. Today's lesson from 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22, deals with the power of redemption. It reads, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." The central question that we ask is this: How did Jesus Christ alter our relationship with our Heavenly Father? The answer, the big idea in this scripture is this: Christ suffered to bring us to God. You see, Jesus dealt with our sins on the cross. Sin separated us from God. Our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father had to be fixed. Jesus' death restored the relationship and destroyed the flesh, the heart that is oppressed by sin and its desires. Christ did all this through the cross. The prophet Isaiah explains how that sacrifice worked. This prophet wrote God's revealed word hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:5. He, that is Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The point? We are the ones that had the problem. The problem was sin. God didn't have the problem. We had the problem of sin and the problem of sin's consequences, death. What we understand from the Bible is that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, dealt with the problem of sin on the cross, and in so doing, dealt with our separation from God and with life itself. His sacrifice on the cross brought salvation through his resurrection. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was a one-time sacrificial event. Jesus' very life had to be given, that's his blood, in order to cover the consequences of sin. Jesus Christ did what no other could do. Jesus was the hope for the world, including all who were destroyed by the flood in Noah's time. They rejected God and God's plan for world restoration. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ accomplished salvation for all mankind who trust in him. 1 Peter explains, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached, that is, proclaimed God's plan to the spirits of those alive in Noah's day, those in prison. They disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. The point? Jesus Christ was God's answer to sin and mankind's separation from God. But Jesus Christ had to not only die for sin, but he also had to be resurrected in order to be the perfect sacrifice. Perfect in the Greek language, the language of the New Testament, means finished. The job of sacrifice was only done when the resurrection took place. That's why Easter is so important to Christians. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was just the beginning of Christ's work of salvation. In death, Jesus Christ encountered the emptiness of those who were ultimately responsible for the flood of Noah's time. They are the ones who brought so much violence on the earth that God chose a flood to wipe the face of the earth. Only Noah and his family, with their flaw of sin, was saved in the whole earth. Noah and the ark never saved mankind because sin remained in the heart of mankind. But now, with Jesus, look at what Jesus Christ accomplished. Our very salvation. Look at where Jesus Christ reigns now, and look at his plans for all of creation as he intercedes for us. Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died and was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. The point? Our present situation in the church grows out of the past and present work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. It was God's own plan. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. It was part of God's master plan for the redemption of the world. The resurrection was just the beginning. The redemptive activity is still going on and will continue until Christ returns. We are living in end times, begun with the flood and continuing with Christ's sacrifice for us and his current preparations for his return. Original sin, that decision made by Adam and Eve early in creation, separated God and mankind. But God would not let original sin end our relationship with him. God sent his only Son, nurtured in a human family and ultimately suffering on a cross, to redeem a world that did not want redemption. God, in a miraculous way, intervened in human life to save us from our sin, those things in life that separate us from God and from one another. That was Jesus' job. God wants each of us to be restored to him through the blood of Christ. The message of the gospel is that God is there for you in your life. He provides direction and he provides his redemptive work on the cross to bring you back to him. Let Christ direct your thinking and bring you to the Heavenly Father. Let Jesus into your heart of hearts and seek his lordship. Let God be your leader. If you have not received the Lord Jesus into your life, you are just like the people of Noah's time who refused God's plan. They are the ones in hell where Jesus proclaimed God's plan for forgiveness. Are you going to be like them? Messing up in your life and your judgments until you are wiped out, like in the flood? Will you be like them, forgetting Jesus Christ? Or are you going to choose to be close to Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you are the light of the world, the only one who gives direction to mankind. Thank you for your leadership and your desire that all people be restored to the Father. Let us each hear your voice and your leading to forgiveness and restoration to a full relationship to our Heavenly Father. Amen. As we end our time together, let us join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at historic Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104. We worship each Sunday at 10 a.m. with a traditional Lutheran service. Zion is located one block south of State Highway 104 near the historical Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Do you want additional information about our Lutheran fellowship? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. God bless you. Have a good day.